Hello, everybody. Welcome back to We're Getting a Dog.
Hey, everyone.
We're so sorry we've been gone for a little bit there.
So sorry. Impromptu spring break.
Yeah, well, we had family in town. We were planning to take a week off, and then everything just kind of got ahead of us, and so we had to take a second week off, but we're happy to be back.
It's back with season 5.
And we hope you all had a lovely spring break wherever you are. We're back in the second, third, the middle
of this season.
And this time, this episode, I'm going to be talking about the Skye Terrier.
Skye Terrier.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Well, it is a rarer breed, the Skye Terrier, and it is actually a dwarf breed, not a miniature or toy breed.
So that's how it flies so easily.
It doesn't fly.
But how does it get in the sky? Take a book. Look, it's in a book, Reading Rainbow.
Wow. Have you been...
Go twice as high.
Okay.
Song's about Sky Terriers. You got a book.
That whole show isn't just about the one book and a dog. Okay. Toy breeds are a more delicate and proportional version of their original breed. So the main difference is that toy breeds are a more delicate and proportional version of their original breed, whereas a dwarf breed has larger features and bones, but distorted proportions.
Oh.
So these features are all hidden, though, under their fur, because they have a really long coat that hides, like, their body shape.
Distorted sounds almost negative. Is that
unhealthy?
No,
it's not unhealthy. I think distorted is just maybe the most accurate word medically.
Okay.
Well, the Skye Terrier was bred for a specific purpose, and that was going after vermin and exterminating them.
Common for small terriers.
Yes. One print source mentions that they were bred over a course of almost 400 years, specifically to hunt down mice, rats, foxes, otters, and badgers.
Not otters.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, otters are your favorite.
I was going to say it took 400 years, but they never quite got them to hunt birds. That was always the goal.
Their short stature but strong body and tough paws and nails, as well as their strong jaw, help them to invade dens and kill unwanted pests. The breed standard describes the Skye Terrier as, quote, a dog of style, elegance, and dignity.
I just realized when you say the Skye Terrier, it sounds like this guy terrier.
The Skye Terrier. The Skye Terrier. You say it really fast.
Skye Terrier. Skye Terrier just goes into dens, rips up vermin. Should meet him.
God, is there anyone named Terrier out there? I think you have the coolest name in the whole world. Okay, so next is their height and weight and their body. The Skye Terrier. I'm only gonna think of that now because of
how big is the Skye Terrier?
Okay, they're well. So, no, wait. The sentence is too good. Twice as long as he is tall.
Wow. I gotta meet this Skye Terrier.
We have to say all this over again.
Skull.
Oh, okay. So next is their height, weight, and body. The Skye Terrier is twice as long as it is tall. Male should be 10 inches tall, therefore about 20 inches long. And female should be just under that at 9.5 inches tall. Or whatever twice that is, because I can't do math. What's 9.5 to...
I didn't follow what you were...
What's 9.5 times 2?
19.
So they should be 19 inches long, about. A slightly higher or lower Skye Terrier is accepted according to their standard. And there is a photo we have here of just the Skye Terrier, if you want to look at that. It's just the first photo in the list here. Nice long-haired dog.
Aww.
They're described as being densely boned and, quote, of substance. Though not noted specifically in their standard, the AKC lists their weight as between 35 to 45 pounds for both males and females. Though they carry their head proudly, their body is low and level. They also have a deeply set rib cage, oval in shape, but this is obscured by their long coat, giving them a flat appearance. Photo number 2 is of their body, which this is a shortcut Skye Terrier, and it's very funny looking. It looks like a bobblehead doll.
Oh, yeah. Very defined head.
Yeah, very defined head and ears, and then just a little body. Almost a little corgi-like in appearance, but not as wide, but like the short stumpiness of their legs.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Their legs in front should be, quote, as straight as possible, as the soundness in chest will permit. This does not refer to another term for terrier legs called terrier straight, which refers to the straightness of legs in terriers that have the wider chest than the Skye Terrier does. Their hind legs are strong-muscled and well-angulated, and they are hare-footed and carry their feet facing straight forward. So as they have rabbit feet. Yeah.
Ow. Is that what that leads
rabbit-shaped
to?
Feet.
Rabbit-shaped feet.
Hare-footed, yeah.
Ah, hare-footed, okay.
Like H-A-R-E, okay. Yeah. The Skye Terrier's head is long and powerful, though its strength is more valued than its length. The eyes are brown, preferably dark brown, close-set, and, quote, alight with life and intelligence, which I think is hilarious because you don't see them.
Yeah.
Their ears are symmetrical and, quote, gracefully feathered, and can be either straight up or drop. So they can either be, like, they can stand up on end, or they can drop down. Like other terrier types have drop ears. It can be either or. The decent width of their skull tapers to a strong, dark-colored muzzle. Not snipey-looking, their muzzle is quite well-sized for a dog of their stature. They have a very strong jaw with a black nose. Their nose must always be black. If they have a Dudley nose or any other color, they will be disqualified according to the standard. So, the thing that this breed is probably best known for is its coat. Because it has this long, you know, straight coat that kind of sits flat. It's very groovy. The breed is double-coated. Their undercoat is short, soft, close, and woolly, while the outer coat is harsher in texture and lays straight and flat. According to the showing standard, their outer coat must be 5.5 inches long. No extra credit is given for a longer coat. So, if you grow it long, it gets no reward.
That'd be weird. What dogs is extra credit given for longer coats? Is that common?
I don't...
I feel like they always get poodles with extra long coats.
Maybe. Extra
fluffy.
Somehow,
the higher the hair goes,
yeah,
the better they are.
The style of their coat is to hang down flat, parting in the middle from head to toe. The hair on their head should veil the eyes and form a moderate and shorter beard. Their longer outer coat also falls straight down from their ears as well, making an outline of an ear completely covered by fur. The ends of the fur on their head must also mingle with the fur of their neck for the look to be correct. Now, there are several different colors that this breed comes in, which I didn't realize. I thought it was just the one. So their skin tone has to be one overall color, but the fur may be of different shades of one color. So we have a lot of links here. So the first acceptable color is black. So just straight black. The next
very
one,
tube-like.
Very much so. Very like Pantene commercial. The next one is blue, which I think is interesting. Now, blue is a very specific kind of gray that in the light takes on like bluish tones. But this, it comes in that color. The next one is dark gray. Which I thought this was the only color they came in originally, was just like this kind of schnauzery dark gray.
Oh, is it the most common?
This is, I think, the most photographed, I think. The next one is light gray, which is very light. It's almost like it has like touches of gray interspersed with white.
Well, yeah, it looks like a tiny shepherd, kind of like sheepdog.
Sure thing. The next one is silver or platinum. I got more results when I searched silver. So this one has that kind of like sheen to it. I like that one the most.
Yeah, so like the little sheepdog look.
Mm-hmm. The next one's fawn, which I think is really kind of cute that it comes in this color.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
That was a different looking photo. But
oh, yeah, for sure.
It's cut around the face.
Yes.
See the face.
Yeah. And the last color they come in is cream, which is very like... Yeah, it's almost like a butter white color.
Very creamy.
With, ugh, God, hate that word.
Yeah, like white.
Yes, definitely.
It's black ears still.
But those are all of the colors that the Skye Terrier comes in, which is pretty insane. There's a lot of choices there. A lot of choices for a breed that's not very well known, too.
Are there different patterns, too, in all of them?
No, they can have no patterns.
Oh.
They can't... It doesn't matter if the ear has to, like, blend in, but they have to be different shades of one overall color.
Right, but the blue and the gray have, like, two colors to them.
It has to still have that bluish tone to it all the way around. Hmm. It's very specific. So some defining features. The Skye Terrier is brave, good-natured, and loyal, though they may take their time to warm up to someone new. Because they're reserved, observant, and cautious of strangers, the Skye Terrier can make for an excellent watchdog. No, that doesn't mean guard dog. They're also known to have the strength of a larger dog despite their size. They also love to bark, which yeah. We're going to listen to their bark now.
All right.
It's a Skye Terrier puppy. So you can see it's pretty much like a standard terrier bark.
Yeah.
Nothing too crazy.
When you hear repeated quite a bit, if you have a barky terrier.
Yes. Probably has that little, like, growl to it, like the throaty growl that the, you know, like how moose growls.
Yeah. Yeah. If someone gets too close.
Yeah, for sure. But they're very
squirrel
cute.
Squirrel comes to town.
Mm-hmm. But that's like the basic outline of the Skye Terrier. So, what do you think so far?
Oh, interesting little dog.
Uh-huh. Had you ever heard of them before?
No.
Okay. I feel like I had, but I don't remember why or where. But either way, that's the basic info of this breed. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will come right back with the history of the Skye Terrier. So, we'll be back. Hello, listeners. Wesley here to talk to you a little bit about how you can support this show. For each episode of all of our podcasts here at Arcadia, we spend our own money on books, articles, and other materials so that we can bring you podcasts that are thoroughly researched and fact-checked. All of the hosts and producers of these shows also work full-time jobs in addition to the podcast so that we can support this passion we all share. If you'd like to support us at We're Getting a Dog, as well as the other podcasts in the Arcadia Podcast Network, head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/We're Getting a Dog, or our website, WereGettingADog.com/support. For as low as $2 per month, you can get access a day early to every new episode of We're Getting a Dog and other Arcadia Podcast Network shows, such as Coffee's On and Good Food for Bad Friends. And at higher levels, you can get one-of-a-kind swag. Thank you for supporting the Arcadia Podcast Network and for listening to this podcast. Now back to the show. All right, we are back with the Skye Terrier this week.
All right, what's with the Skye Terrier?
Well, dang it, I tried it, it didn't work. The Skye Terrier comes from the Isle of Skye in Scotland.
The Isle of Skye.
Yes, which is...
Is it exactly what I'm imagining?
What are you imagining?
Like that part in Mario where you fly above the clouds?
Kind of. Yeah, I mean, it's cloudy, it's misty.
So it's in the sky.
It's not in the sky.
Okay.
So, starting with pre-modern history, the area of Scotland where the Isle of Skye is was found to have evidence of hunter-gatherer populations that date back to the 7th century BCE. However, there begins actual historical record, though sparse, that the Scottish Highland was inhabited by the Pictish of Ireland, and then for a short time, the Vikings, until 1266. The only thing the Vikings left behind was the name Skye. Though there are many parts of the etymology of this part of Scotland, the Norse Skuy, S-K-U-Y, I really don't know.
Skuy.
Translates to Misty Isle or Cloud Isle in other iterations, though it is also possible that Ptolemy named the isle, linguistically speaking. He might have called it the Isle of Skye.
Or clouds.
Sure.
So, yeah, pretty much like the Mario level.
Yep. Just exactly like it. After the ruling
coins
class...
Coins everywhere.
Little, like, chutes you can go into and, like, get more coins.
It's endless coins. That's all I remember in the Skye level.
Yep. After the ruling class of Scotland collapsed, the former physician to King Edward VI, Queen Mary I, better known as Bloody Mary, and Queen Elizabeth I, Dr. John Caius, he decided to travel to the British Isles to do some studying and just like recording of the sights he saw. Mm-hmm. Though he traveled through Scotland, he did not include it in his travel notes because they were an independent country. Also, they were not British, so he wasn't being paid to take notes there, so he didn't. Okay. He makes just one mention of a dog whose hair didn't let them show their eyes or face. Dr. Caius' mention of this dog is often cited as the first written record of the Skye Terrier. The only catch to this origin story is that Caius describes the dog's hair as curled, which does not match what we know as the Skye Terrier of today. It's possible, maybe it's the same thing, who knows?
Just slightly curled at the ends, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe the flip was in for them at that time, and now it's not.
Saying they looked, quote, super emo. Hair in the face, flipped at the end.
Blue. No, I don't know.
Blue streak.
So there's also the Spanish Armada origin story. And this is just a nice historical deep dive I did for fun. The Spanish had a bone to pick with the British in the late 16th century.
God, what is with these European countries?
You know, Queen Elizabeth I of England had growing concerns over Spain having a larger rule and trade presence in the New World. There were also increasing religious differences between Spain, as they were Catholic, and Elizabeth I was the head of the Protestant and still kind of new Church of England.
Oh.
When Queen Elizabeth had the devout Catholic Mary, Queen of Scots, who is different from Mary I of England, by the way, when Elizabeth had Mary, Queen of Scots, executed, the tipping point had been reached. Philip II of Spain decided to wage war against Great Britain.
How'd that go?
Well, not well.
Everyone involved had a great time.
They had a gay old time, and everyone ate big feasts on the ships, and, no, I don't know, sang songs.
Figs and pudding.
The Spanish Armada of 1588, made up of some 18,000 men and vessels, was thought to be, by the standards of Philip II, to be, quote, invincible. However,
well, pretty big.
I mean, yeah. They were bulky, though, and they were not as fast as the English Navy's ships. So a days-long battle ensued on July 27th, 1588, and the British proved to be a more formidable force. Many of the Spanish Armada's ships were lost, while both sides ran out of ammunition. The Spanish, however, had no backup supplies or ships. Plus, the British dispatched 8 fire ships, which were literally just ships set on fire and guided out to sea near the Spanish Armada.
That's got to be complicated to pull off.
Yeah. It's thought possible that among the survivors of the Spanish fleet were also their dogs, which were mostly Spaniels and Maltese, specifically. These ships were lost along the western coastal areas of Ireland and Scotland. So it's thought that maybe they, like, got over to the Isle of Skye after the ships were wrecked off the coast.
Huh.
But there's not much factual evidence of this theory at all. It's just kind of like a tall tale.
It's inserting
like
it
the war
a
happened,
place in history.
But yeah, historical fiction. So we're moving now to the modern era.
I'd watch that movie where that'd be like the opening scene, and then it's just about a dog.
Yeah.
But all, like, the budget's in that opening scene.
The opening
scene.
Naval
war.
Yeah, it's a massive, like, the Spanish Armada, the war of 1588. And then the whole rest of the movie is just a dog wandering around a really
misty
island. Yeah,
it's like a little 16th century Marley and Me. Rest of it.
The rest of it just takes place in a cottage in Scotland. That's just the rest of the set.
Some political happenings in the background,
three camera setup. Maybe a store here.
Owen
and there.
Wilson, of course. Star.
And a dog. And Scottish Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, no, Owen Wilson would be the dog.
Oh, okay. I was confused.
See, that's the twist this time.
Okay, so we're moving to the modern era now. So, sadly, the 17th and 18th centuries offer no enlightenment on this breed, as many writers of the time referred to any terrier found in Scotland to be a Scotch or Scottish terrier. So
I was thinking the head's sort of the shape, but the bodies are very different.
There was no differentiation made until 1861, when the Manchester Dog Show recorded them under the name Skye Terrier, not just Scottish Terrier. So Queen Victoria, of course, had received one of the very first ones brought back to England in 1842, and well-known British painter Sir Edwin Landseer painted Queen Victoria's Skye Terriers in a few different works of his. There is a photo here of one of Queen Victoria's Skye Terriers with a Newfoundland.
Ooh, very nice.
Mm-hmm. They're both looking to the sky.
Hang that up.
Very cute, yeah. Put that in my bibliotheca. Through the rest of the 19th century in England, Skye Terriers were the en vogue dog breed of the British elite. This did not go without some modifications made to the breed, though.
There were a lot of invoked dog breeds. Queen Vic was like,
you know, she was like the dog lady who would just like swap them out every decade. New breed here, new breed there. Like, there wasn't like, we've said this before, it isn't like the current queen who just had corgis her whole life. And it was just corgis. We didn't have any other breeds, really.
Yeah. Yeah, they were really finicky. Well, they were just all over the map with different dog breeds then in England.
Definitely. So, either way, because they got so popular, it didn't come without modifications made to the breed. So, seeing as the Skye Terrier were mainly vermin-chasing working dogs, the people of importance with the breed at the time took it upon themselves to improve the coat quality by crossbreeding them with Spaniels. Mm. So, this was mainly so that the coat could grow longer and have a heavier quality.
Is that when it started covering the eyes and going to the ground?
No, it had been like that before.
It was just thicker.
I think it was to like thicken it and also give it like a better texture to like groom so you could show it.
So it's straighter?
Maybe less wiry. And it is possible maybe it did have curlier hair before, and then getting it with the spaniel made it straighter too. Maybe that's possible. And
some spaniels have curlier hair though, I think.
Yeah. Either way, there's no DNA history on the Skye Terrier either. It's not in any of those like breed DNA sites that we've used before for this show. Couldn't find them. So that's kind of a mystery.
Who is this guy, Terry?
Basically, the modifications that they made were improving the coat, and also they would crossbreed them with other dogs to shorten the snout a little bit. However, by the time that was cosmetically achieved, the terriers didn't have the capability of using a long snout to like snuff out rodents or anything like that. Like, they had shortened them too much. So it was ironic that, but not surprising, that these cosmetic changes led to a sharp decline in the breed's popularity in England. So they turned out to just kind of be a rolling fad of the dog breed.
I thought you were going to say so they lengthened the noses again so they could do their job.
No, they kept them as is, and they faded out of popularity.
With longer noses anyway.
Huh?
They probably breathe better with the old longer noses.
That's the
anyway,
thing. It didn't say anything about them being like brachycephalic or anything like that, but there are still dedicated breeders.
Scenting.
Right.
Abilities.
Yeah. There are still dedicated breeders throughout the United States and Europe that will show the dog to like a crowd of dedicated followers in the breed clubs. Two Skye Terriers have won Best Terrier at Crufts in England. Well, the first was Wee Mac of Adele in 1907, and the second was Champion Silhill Silver Secret in 1974. Wow. They've Excellent never names. Won Best in Show before, though. In America, the first Skye Terrier was registered by the AKC in 1884, and his name was Romac. The breed was officially recognized in 1887, and their national breed club, the Skye Terrier Club of America, or the STCA, was founded in 1938 to help keep the breed standard one of improving the dog's health and benefiting their needs. Since the 1940s, about 100 to 150 Skye Terriers are registered annually in the United States. However, they did experience a brief jolt in popularity in the 1960s when Disney released their adaptation of the story of Grey Friars Bobby, which for 1 year caused the number of registrations to surge to 400 dogs.
Oh my God.
Yeah, wait, I thought it was going to be like 4,000. Okay, so this is actually the cutest story I've ever heard about a dog ever. So let me just take a sip of water before we continue. Disney made a movie of this. The story I'm about to tell you is the actual story, not the Disney version if they adapted it.
Okay, I'm going to look up photos of the movie.
So this is the story of Grey Friars Bobby. Bobby, a young Skye Terrier, was originally owned by a little girl on a farm just outside of Edinburgh, Scotland, in 1858.
Oh, I thought it was animated.
It's live action.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
Who's going to watch this?
An old man named John Grey worked on the farm, and Bobby chose him as his true master, not the little girl. Bobby began traveling with John to Edinburgh on his weekly trips there for market day. During market day, John and Bobby would go around running all of his errands until the 1 o'clock gunfire sounded from the nearby castle. They'd then both go to Mr. Trail's restaurant for lunch in Greyfriars. John Grey eventually became too frail to continue working on the farm.
I've heard of this dog.
So he retired back to Edinburgh. Bobby, heartbroken that he no longer saw his master, ran away from the farm to find him. He eventually made it to Greyfriars and found John, who cared for Bobby for a short time until his own death of old age. Bobby was left devastated and snuck into Greyfriars Cemetery to stay by John Gray's grave, and also to wander from time to time around the churchyard. When the 1 p.m. gunfire sounded from the castle, he would go over to Mr. Trail's restaurant where he was fed every day. Soon, though, his routine attracted the attention of the locals, and then the local government was made aware of the situation. At that time, Edinburgh had a very strict set of laws regarding stray pets and licenses for pet owners. Because Bobby had no official owner, a court had to rule on whether or not he could stay in Greyfriars Churchyard to continue attending to the grave of his owner. The Lord Provost of Edinburgh, evidently fond of Bobby's continuing vigil, granted him an honorary license and keys to the city, which basically allowed him to roam about Greyfriars freely with no trouble from citizens. Bobby sat vigil at John Gray's grave for 14 more years until he died in 1872. Bobby was buried next to his master's grave, his epitaph reading, "Let his loyalty and devotion be a lesson to us all."
Wow.
And a baroness named Angela Georgina Burdett Coos, was so loving of the story, she had a memorial fountain built outside the churchyard that had a constantly running supply of fresh drinking water on two levels, an upper level for humans and a lower level for dogs. The fountain still exists, though it no longer runs water, because gross. And because we don't need public terrains for drinking water anymore.
Not even for the dogs.
But there is a little dog mounted that is Greyfriars Bobby.
Ah, nice.
Sadly, though, as recently as 2018, the headstone of John Gray and Bobby in the Greyfriars Cemetery was vandalized. Oh. It was, however, repaired and re-erected. So that's the story of Greyfriars Bobby. And there is a photo of the dog, of this, I think it's the sculpture on top of the fountain. Yeah.
Ah, wow. Nice.
Yep. Very sweet story about this dog breed.
Yeah.
Currently, the Skye Terrier is the 178th most registered dog breed in 2022 out of 204. So pretty far off of the... Wow. Yeah, so with only that, like 100 to 150 of them registered each year, it's really not a well-known breed. But I feel like I've seen photos of this one before just in like magazines and stuff.
Yeah. I've definitely heard the Greyfriars, Bobby story. Mm-hmm.
Well, either way, that's the history of the Skye Terrier. I had to do some digging to get it kind of up to where I like a history to be for a dog breed, but I thought overall it was pretty interesting for a breed that isn't so popular.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will be back in just another moment with the ownership of the Skye Terrier, don't go away.
When you wake up in the morning and get ready for the day, what's the one thing you're sure you won't miss? Well, according to the National Coffee Association, if you're like 64% of all Americans, you're probably going to have a cup of coffee. Hi, my name is Richard Eisloffel, and I love coffee. I've been drinking it consistently since I was about 15 years old and have worked off and on as a barista for over 4 years. Though I haven't worked in the coffee field for some time now, I've recently took an interest in knowing more about coffee. Its origins, its history, its chemical makeup, how we get different flavor profiles, and its current cultural status. To do this, I turned to my best friend of over 10 years, Wesley Van Hoosen.
Hello there, I'm Wesley.
He is probably the most well-read person I know. Books have always been a part of his life, and I know that, like myself, he has a thirst for knowledge. So I asked him one day, Wesley, do you know any good books on coffee? To which he responded,
no, actually, none that I've ever found.
And I have to say, that took me by surprise. You would think out there, somewhere, is a manuscript detailing everything you need to know about coffee, from how it's made to how it made its way into the fabric of our society. But no, there really isn't. So that's when Wesley and I decided to do it ourselves.
Welcome to Coffee's On, where every episode we'll learn something new about the marvelous beverage that is coffee. In this popcorn-style series, we'll use every episode to do a deep dive into some facet of coffee consumption or production.
And with every episode, we'll be trying a new brew of coffee, so we can continue to open our palates as well as our minds.
In addition, we'll close each episode with a fun fact, myth, or legend about this magical drink.
So tune in during your morning routine, daily commute, or afternoon pick-me-up, and we'll tell you all there is to know about the most consumed beverage in America.
You can listen to Coffees on Spotify or wherever you stream podcasts.
From the Arcadia Podcast Network.
All right, we are back with the last part of this episode, which is the ownership of the Skye Terrier. Okay. So we're going to start with their training. Something that our listeners may wonder is when exactly to begin training your puppy for commands. Yes, Dylan, early.
Nice.
Yes, you're spot on. The book for Skye Terriers is even more specific about that and has a great explanation that says as soon as they can constantly respond to their name. So if they know their name, that's when you start doing like sit, stay, no, down, all that stuff.
And you repeat their name to them like they're a parrot.
A million times, yeah. Well, you kind of have to.
Bobby.
No, you don't do that. You have to act excited when you say their name. So that way they know that's like oh, that's what they call me.
Bobby.
That's better.
Great friends, Bobby.
You don't have your arms out or anything. This is all just voice work.
Gray Friars Bobby.
Okay, this is what show is this? Is that from a show?
No, standard singing,
I guess. Okay.
I feel like barbershop quartet, kind of like.
Sure.
I'm imagining there's people harmonizing around me.
The AKC also describes this breed as strong-willed but calmer than most other terriers. They respond very poorly to harshness and will become withdrawn as a result. They will be stubborn, but they are very lovable.
Okay.
So that's, yeah. So
a lot of even though they're this, they're that.
Yeah. Well, they're terriers, but they also have traits of like, they have a little more patience than other terriers, but sometimes not so much.
But they're strong-willed.
Yes. They're stubborn. The necessary training you have to teach this dog breed are leash and collar training. You can even go as far as off-leash training for some breeds, for some dogs in this breed. You need to teach them to sit, to come, and to stay, like every dog. You need to teach them to heel and recall to heel if you're going to do the off-leash. Down, no, and you have to socialize them as early as possible.
Right. Even before they respond to their name.
No, right after. Like.
Okay.
Yeah, as soon as they can kind of hold their own and like run and, you know, like be with around other dogs, but around other people too, you have to socialize both.
Oh, yeah.
And if you do socialize them starting very early, they'll become great partner dogs for other dogs and other dog breeds in the house too. So if you have another pet, Skye Terriers work really well with other dogs. I didn't say anything about cats before anyone asks. I didn't look that far.
They're about cat sized, right? Maybe a little bigger.
I'd say a little. They're stout. They're pretty.
They're
big.
Longer than cats, though.
They're dwarf, not toy. Remember that. They're a dwarf dog, not a toy.
Oh, yeah,
dog.
They're like 20, 30 pounds, though, right?
Yeah, 25 to 35 pounds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so training difficulty. The Skye Terrier sits in the middle when it comes to this. Though they're calmer than other terriers, they still come with the signature stubbornness of a terrier. One source recommends training this breed in short, productive sessions rather than long, drawn-out ones. They rank at number 55 on Stanley Coren's intelligence list, placing them in the middle with the obedience training. It is also helpful and sometimes necessary to enroll them in professionally taught obedience classes. So that's always recommended anyway for a lot of these kinds of breeds who do the, you know, who are stubborn. Getting them spayed or neutered will also help to decrease their aggression. Skye Terriers need, at the very least, 30 minutes of active exercise or playtime every day. They will require more exercise, whether that be in a fenced-in yard, running around, or with regular walks and exercise throughout the day if you live in an apartment. So they make good apartment dogs. You just have to get their exercise in.
Right.
Like most every other dog. So, this next part, and I'm exhaling here because the grooming of this dog is a page and a half long of typed script. Okay. So
it's not just a bunch of photos.
No, it is not. So here we go. The grooming of a Skye Terrier involves extra training, both for the dog and for you, its owner. You must start this process as soon as you have your Skye Terrier puppy. Skye Terriers need to be groomed laying on their side. Train the sky puppy to lay on its side using the stay command while they're in this position and reward them. Brush them lightly while they still have their puppy fur so they become used to what you're actually doing. It's also during this time that you'll train them to let you look over them for bumps, like, you know, skin issues, anything like that. Check inside and outside the ears, trim their nails, as well as brush their teeth. So this is imperative if you're going to groom your Sky Terrier. You have to, as soon as you get them, train them to stay laying on either side. You have to do both sides. You can't just do one. Yeah.
Dogs are always just laying flat on their side. This is like letting you do whatever you want to them.
So around it's just the funniest thing to me. It's like stay.
It seems
it's like sleeping.
Potentially more difficult to teach a puppy to sit still like this.
I feel like it'd be easier because if you're like petting them and like rewarding them for just laying down.
I guess you have to like, find a time they're calmed down already.
You have to brush them too during this. You have to use the comb so they know what that feels like. So. And then around 7 months, the sky puppy sheds its puppy coat and begins growing the long double coat we're used to seeing. So the two coats are totally different. The puppy coat is very fluffy and doesn't grow very long. And then at 7 months, it all like sheds out into the long coat.
Oh.
Yeah. So you'll have to increase your grooming to a few times per week to help them transition healthily into the adult coat. So, you know, so that
like professionally?
Groomed? No, you can do this all yourself.
Oh, like brushing.
Brushing. Okay. Yeah. On their side. Brushing the adult sky coat involves much care and attention. You should use a wire pin brush for dogs and slowly brush their hair downwards, feeling for mats and tangles as you go. The book that outlines this process, Sky Terrier by Judith Tabler, recommends using a small amount of cornstarch to loosen difficult knots and tangles. There are also pet-friendly detanglers available as well. Mats tend to collect behind their ears, between their forelegs, and on their chest the most. The grooming process must be done every week. Keep it a routine and expect to devote up to an hour grooming them. The book also mentions that greeting your dog fondly and warmly at grooming time will help to ease any anxiety they have going in. So don't be like, all right, God, we have to do this now. Like, don't punish your dog for grooming them.
Boo, your coat's so difficult to groom.
Yeah, the book says
it's all
not,
your fault.
Yeah, don't do that. If it's time for their monthly bath, do not bathe them prior to doing the whole brush out routine. If you bathe them first, it will cement their knots into place.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and you may be forced to cut their fur, which you don't want to do. After you've completed their brush out, bathe them using a vet or groomer recommended pet shampoo and conditioner. The trick to bathing a Sky Terrier without knotting their coat is to spread the shampoo and conditioner on the top of the coat and let the rinsing do the work of getting it through the rest of the coat. So you're not like actively shampooing and massaging them. You're like smearing it on and then you're kind of like spraying the shampoo into the coat to wash it. Like into and through, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's helpful if you have like a detachable shower head to wash a Sky Terrier. Actually, it's almost kind of recommended. Required.
Sounds pretty required for a lot of dog grooming or dog bathing, at least.
So you'll want to use as little hand contact as possible because that's how the knots and mats can form, as if you're like in there scrunching the fur up.
I see.
Because its texture isn't that, doesn't work that way. So once they're thoroughly rinsed, because you need to rinse all the conditioner out too, because it can irritate their skin, you'll have to blow dry them. And a dog blow dryer is highly recommended, which you can buy. It's just basically like a bigger, like a longer blow dryer.
I'm picturing one they can like walk through. Like a
well, they make those too, but this one, no, it's like, it's not like our blow dryer where it has the really, it has the little circular spout at the end. This one has kind of like the air is dispersed a bit differently, so it's not as hot and it can dry pet hair, not human hair. Like also they don't get as hot as a regular person hair dryer because the hot setting on a hair dryer can hurt a dog.
Right.
So if you're using your own hair dryer, just like a Conair hair dryer, don't put it on hot. Use it on the low setting. Either way, you have to blow dry their coat while you're don't use cool.
No,
you have to use some amount of heat. So low is low or medium is recommended. Medium at the highest.
Just wrap them up in a towel and carry them around.
No,
like
you have to blow dry them because you have to brush them as you're blow drying.
Brush them as you blow dry them
to keep the knots out. Yes, so you're blow drying their hair so it isn't knotted.
So you need a blow dryer for the Sky Terrier.
Yes. If you want to
specifically dog one, ideally.
Yes. And if you want to have the look just finally right, you have to part their coat down the middle.
Makes sense.
Yes. Their paws will need some trimming from time to time.
That's probably why they lay on each side. So yeah. Get one side at a time.
Well, that's just to do the brushing. For the bathing,
you brush it. Yeah. One side at a time. Though, yeah. Because they're on their side.
Their paws will need some trimming from time to time. Use blunt edge short scissors to do this. Obviously, if you get a Skye Terrier, consult a professional groomer before grooming them. So don't do it. I got all this out of a book, but obviously consult a groomer. If there's better ways to do things, they'll teach you methods, that kind of stuff. So that is definitely necessary for a Skye Terrier. When it comes to buying one, they cost between $1,500 to $2,000 minimum. So this breed is on the rarer side, so supply and demand are pretty low for this breed.
Supply and demand are low, so it balances out, is what you're saying?
Well, yeah, only like the people that make them every year, kind of like, you know, that's really all they have available. It's not like a breed like hounds or labs where there's tons of them. With their life expectancy, they live between 12 to 14 years, and they only have a few health concerns, which is puppy limp, which is just kind of like incorrect musculoskeletal stuff. A lot of reasons can cause it. The list was endless. So that is a concern. Renal dysplasia, which is a kidney abnormality in which cysts replace normal kidney tissue, which sounds terrible. Hepatitis, and then cancer. Those are the last ones that are really of concern for the Skye Terrier. But that's all I've got on this breed. So I think it's a really cool breed. I don't think I really want one because they're very... Not to say that no one should not want... Or that people should want... What am I trying to say? People should want one if they do.
I don't know. I'd adopt one. They seem like a good little small mid-sized terrier.
That's true. But my God, the grooming required, though, is just insane. Oh, yeah,
that's true.
It's a lot of work. Already. It's a lot of work.
So wait, you have to blow dry them?
Yeah. I mean,
finally with you.
I mean, otherwise they're going to like roam around and roll around and it's going to knot up their fur while it's wet and then it's going to dry that way.
And you can't keep the hair just short?
Like, you can, but that's not the recommended look.
Well, it's not the show look, but
no, is but that what I've a lot definitely, of owners do? I've definitely seen cuts of this breed where it's shorter hair. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Probably most owners would do.
Maybe. I don't know.
All the owners are like very specialty and have them for the special hair.
Sure. I would think so. I mean, that's kind of the signature of the breed. But either way, I think, though, as far as being like a nice dog, I like that they're compatible with other dogs, that they seem to be very, you know, friendly. And as long as they're socialized, they'll be amiable with people and other pets too. I just think it's overall, except for the grooming, very good pet.
Yeah.
The grooming is a lot insane.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, boop, so that's boop, that is the Skye Terrier. Oh, boop, dog boop, news. Boop.
It's time for dog Sorry. News.
What's our dog news?
Well, it comes from Radio Free Europe and writer and photographer Amos Chappell. It comes from the Ukraine. Yes. Quite a lot going on. I haven't been following, you know, every piece of the news, but it's been pretty horrifying that I've seen.
Yeah.
So straight out of the Radio Free Europe article. Workers at a shelter in Dnipro that is home to hundreds of vulnerable animals are vowing to stay on, even as other animal rescue centers close down amid violence and uncertainty in eastern Ukraine. Sorry, these pronunciations. Mariana Bolokovits told Radio Free Europe that with war raging to the north, south, and east of a rescue center, she and her volunteers are overwhelmed with animals in need of a safe home. Bolokovets runs Shelter Friends, an animal rescue center that accommodates hundreds of animals, including disabled dogs and cats. Since the war broke out, Bolokovets says warplanes are regularly roaring over the shelter, located near Dnipro's strategically crucial airport, and air raid sirens are going off every day. Sites in Dnipro have been hit with Russian cruise missiles, but the city has so far avoided the kind of widespread destruction seen in Kharkiv and Mariupol. Bolokovets told Radio Free Europe by the phone, "We're surrounded by front lines, but we are okay for now because people from Poland brought us a lot of dog food and other essentials. So for the next couple of months, we will be able to survive any blockade." Since the story came out yesterday,
oh, wow.
Yesterday from where we're recording, the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
article ends with a, despite sending her children to safety in Poland after the war broke out, Bolokovets told Radio Free Europe, I will never leave the shelter, and my right hand Tatiana will never leave, and our cat house lady will not leave. It's just a matter of mentally surviving all of this.
Wow.
Yeah, this is, I mean, it was, you know, this is such a heavy story, but I thought it was very interesting, you know, to think about, you know, with history happening now. We go through a lot of historical events and, you know, wars in the show.
Yeah,
and it's
that's
interesting
true.
To think about how, you know, people today are handling the dogs in this crisis. So.
Yeah, no, that is insane, too, that, you know, that's something I think none of us really think about in the immediate after effect of something like the war in Ukraine right now, where there's people's pets who they can't take. They're fleeing. And
yeah, there's a lot more details in the article about like how they're taking on more pets based on other tragedies in other cities. And
yeah. And it's something, you know, what a devotion that is of this person, and what a incredible, you know, act they're doing by keeping that resource open. And quite frankly, as well, just being able to stay there because of the, you know, donations of other countries too, which is really good. Shows some responsibility being taken elsewhere too, and good to know. And you can actually donate to them too if you go to their Facebook page.
Okay.
And it's Shelter Friend Ukraine, or at Shelter Friend Dnieper. But yeah, they do have information on how to donate to them. They have PayPal. Right now, I know that banking is kind of weird between us and them, but I'm sure they have ways to receive donations now. So that is a very inspiring story, though, just showing, you know, how dedicated that this person is.
Yeah, and how, you know, dedication of the people of Ukraine. It's like,
it's unwavering, which is so inspiring. Like, it's, I've seen it in so many, you know, there was the post that went around about the librarians in Ukraine that were like, sorry, we're not at the library. We're like fighting our mortal enemies. We'll be back. Like, just there's so much, you know, there's so much support from around the world. And I mean, in Chicago, we see it so much too. I mean, there's Ukrainian flags everywhere. And it's something that I followed really closely because I think
a lot of Ukrainian people in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a neighborhood here called Ukrainian Village. So, like, it's for me, it's something that I follow too because I'm so interested in the history of that part of the world in general.
Yeah.
And, you know, but at the same time, it's horrifying to see it happening right now. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's something that you hope never does happen when you read in the history of it. And to see it happening is just so saddening. But either way, this does bring some light to all of it in a way where you have someone who is like, no, well, you know, why should this change the devotion I've given to pets and animals and making sure they find good homes?
Yeah, so it's just a different kind of context that humanizes it in a new sort of way. It's like,
absolutely.
What are people running a small shelter doing? What choice do you make?
Well, there's lots of cute pictures in the article.
Yeah, it's great photos.
She has really good nails, too. I mean, that's kind of super separate, but she has really good nails.
Holding the
Rottweiler puppies.
Those are adorable puppies.
Rottweilers are one of the most adorable breeds. And we just did an episode on them, too, if you want to learn about them. It was last episode. Either way, everyone, is it the end of dog news?
That is the end of dog news.
All right. Well, we thank you all so much. There's always going to be more dog news. But we thank you all so much for joining us this week.
Thank you all for
letting us have our break. We're so happy to be back. We'll be back next week with a new episode.
The week after.
Mm-hmm. And again, if you want to donate to the shelter that Dylan talked about, I'll put that information in the links below. Yes. What did you say?
I said we'll be week after, and the week after you can hate us.
Oh, don't do that. Don't hate us.
Hand hovering over unsubscribe for the next 4 weeks.
Dylan, no. Tell them to do the opposite and to go to our Patreon page.
Always forgive us.
Where you can get early access for up to $2 a month.
Yes, especially.
And thank you to our patrons. We thank you so much for supporting us. And to what?
Especially through this break.
Absolutely, yes. We do appreciate you very much.
We are back.
We are back. And we have a very... Actually, we have a very special episode coming up.
Oh, boy.
Some things, so I gotta...
Things.
Yeah. Things that I have to edit, but it'll be great. So it'll be coming out. But either way, we thank you all so much. And Dylan, why don't you take us out?
Remember to help out your local shelters wherever you can, whether that's donating, volunteering, fostering, or adopting, and help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered.
Wesley Van Hoosen and Dylan Naylor are not pet professionals. Any advice regarding pet ownership and the responsibilities thereof taken from this program should be checked with your veterinarian. All episodes are researched thoroughly, fact-checked, and additionally researched during post-production. Annotated bibliographies of every episode can be found at weregettingadog.com/bibliographies. This podcast is hosted by Dylan Naylor and Wesley Van Hoosen. If you'd like to reach out or submit a photo of your dog to be featured on our social media, please contact us at WGAD@ArcadiaPodcastNetwork.com or on our Instagram at We're Getting a Dog. Thank you for listening to We're Getting a Dog from the Arcadia Podcast Network.